Welcome to DSC's Campfires with Larry Wysoon. The unique blend of hunting, conservation, and the outdoor lifestyle delivered in an entertaining, informative fashion that only a veteran outdoorsman can do. DSC Campfires is brought to you by DSC, the Dallas Safari Club, Conservation, Education, and Hunter Advocacy, Hornady, Accurate, Deadly, Dependable, Trigicon, Brilliant Aiming Solutions, Ruger, Rugged, Reliable Firearms, Burnham Brothers Game Calls, The Callingest Call Made, Double Nickel Taxidermy, where hunting memories are preserved. Now here's your host, Larry Wysoon.
Sitting around the campfire this morning with Luke Clayton, we're on the Buck and Bass Ranch that belongs to Jeff Rice and his family, and right on the north side of Lake Fork. And got in here yesterday after I had a bunch of things I needed to do with DSC and the DSC Foundation. But met up with Luke and spent the afternoon doing a little hog hunting and doing a whole lot of good eating last night. And Luke, this morning, I tell you what, tell me about, we had, what did you call it, pea meal?
Yeah, pea meal bacon. It's a Canadian bacon. Originated, I've done a little research on it, in Toronto, you know.
I'll be darned.
And I think in Toronto, all the restaurants today still serve pea meal bacon. It's a local thing, but I heard about it. Butcher Packer Supply has a little kit, Larry. $6 or $7 for the kit. It's very reasonable, but to make pea meal bacon, actually, it's pork loin. It could be wild pork or domestic. What you ate was domestic. What you ate today was domestic.
Right.
What you ate yesterday was wild, but we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah, we'll do that a little bit later.
But so you know, pork loin, you know, it's the top cut of pork that there is.
Kind of a ribeye.
As good as
steak,
it gets.
Yeah, backstrap, whatever
right.
You want to call it.
So you can get it for less than $2 a pound on sale. So that's what that is. To make it is very, very simple. You get this little kit from Butcher Packer Supply, and you mix 2.5 gallons of water in a plastic vat or tub
right.
or something with the kit. It's got Cure in it and other stuff, seasonings, you
yes.
know. I don't know what I'm
but is a good
whatever it is, it's right. They did it right.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, put it 24 hours in the refrigerator, and it is cured meat. It has that look, you know, that texture.
Yes,
that
little, yes.
So, and basically, from that, you roll it in it comes with cornmeal. Now, it's called pea meal bacon because back in Canada, years back, they ground peas.
Well, it's a legume, so it probably grew in a colder climate as opposed to some of the corn type thing.
That's
so
right.
It's
I guess
what
it makes
had.
Sense,
yeah.
doesn't it? Yeah. So you roll it in the cornmeal, and what I do, I cut mine into chunks, you know, enough to feed 3 people or whatever. Or me 3 times if I'm out, you know.
Or once when you're really hungry.
Really hungry. That's right, Larry. So I slice it, and like we did this morning. I vacuum seal it, and I might make 8 or 10 of those chunks, you know, out of the loin, or 2 loins is what I did.
Right, right.
And just slice it to the desired thickness. I cut ours a little thicker than normally. You know, you can slice it almost like thick-cut bacon.
Right.
But I cut ours a little thicker. And basically just put it in a little cooking oil or whatever, olive oil, anything you want to use, and fry it. And you know the end result. I think you're going to go home and make some.
I'll tell you what, I love pork. I love bacon. Obviously, I think almost everybody does. But this was by far, in the particular in the thickness that you cut it and the way it was fried, it was out there, was crispy on the outside, it wasn't crispy on the inside.
No.
And it was the best tasting bacon, if you want to, and I
yeah.
realize it's a style of bacon, but that's the best I've ever eaten.
And me too. I mean, not and any, it's nothing that I did other than follow instructions on the kit. Anybody can do it, but you know, I mean, if you buy, okay, the best bacon you can find is going to be what? 1/3 fat? It's going to have
at
a lot of fat in it.
At least 1/3 fat.
At least 1/3.
Yeah, at least 1/3.
That's your best. And it's going to cost about $4.50 or $5 a pound.
Right.
it does not hold a candle. It sounds like a pea meal bacon commercial, but folks, if you need to try this if you like a good breakfast food. And well, we had that this morning, Larry. Had some fried potatoes and eggs over medium, and pretty good breakfast, and here it is midday, and I'm still kind of full.
I am too, but I find myself wanting more of it simply because of how good it was. Now, you mentioned Butcher Supply. How's the best way for somebody to, because there are all kinds of things there. It's not just this particular mixture.
Yeah, it is. It's you can go online to butcher-packer.com, butcher-packer.com, or just Google Butcher Packer. And they'll
come up.
Will
yeah.
But well, no, that's like I say, that's six or so bucks for a kit. And I don't know how, if you really put a dollar figure on what we got, those two loins, that's probably cost a bunch of money.
You know what? If you'd gone to a restaurant somewhere that if they had the ability to and the knowledge to do what we had for breakfast this morning, I bet we'd have paid $20-$25 for
something like that.
Yeah,
I'm with
you. Per person kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you start thinking about it, you know, there's a lot of wild pork available, particularly in Texas and California.
Yeah.
And coming to a place near you, because there's wild hogs almost everywhere these days. But you could use a wild hog very easily. But as you mentioned, you can go to the grocery store, and surprisingly, pork loin, particularly when you buy it in a
whole.
The whole loin, is relatively inexpensive, and it's certainly less expensive than what you would if you're buying quality made bacon, you know, out of the bacon rack over there. And the one thing I can tell you, it's going to taste better than any bacon I've ever had. And I've eaten my share of bacon from home cured to, you know, the fancy places kind of thing. Look, what we didn't tell people is we're sitting on the edge of a little creek here behind us, and earlier this morning we baited a trot line that's been out here for a while, and we're just kind of sitting around now, kind of waiting to see whether or not catfish is interested.
Had a little cool front come in. The last time that I fooled with this trot line, it's probably 20 hooks. Jeff and I, our buddy Jeff, well, we baited it with wild pork liver, we'll get into that, but yeah. Shot a hog last night, and it's baited with that liver. Well, you can't beat it. For catfish bait, bloody, chunky, you know. But we had this cool front come in, and folks like Larry and I were talking, this is probably going to be, for this summer and spring, probably our last time to wear jackets, maybe. But we're out here, it feels good. Feels like the opener of deer season.
There are many days here in Texas I wished we'd had weather like this. I was in Dallas yesterday morning, as I mentioned, with DSC doing some work there, and it was like 36, 37 degrees in Dallas.
Exactly.
And this morning, I got up during the night. We stayed out here at the ranch, but I got up during the night, and it was as clear as it could be. And then this morning, we've had cloud cover roll in, and if you were sitting here around the campfire with us, you'd think it's almost snowing, but I'm thinking that's probably some of the fuzz from cottonwoods.
That's what it is.
Trees are out there.
There's cottonwoods coming down on us here. It's that time of the year. And we've been down here, well, last night. We got here midday yesterday, folks. And, you know, there's tons of hogs. Jeff feeds these hogs well, and they line up in most feeders. I lucked out and got to a feeder and had one come in at 5 after 5, I believe. I had about 4 or 5 of them, you know. And we looked at the video. I showed it to Larry, and one looked like a pretty good sized boar, 150-pound boar, maybe a little bigger. But that wasn't the one I was looking for. I wanted one easy to handle and some tender back straps. So back in the edge of the brush there, I had. Of course, I'm not known for my videography skills. I'm an old hook and bullet rider. I'm used to a steel camera, very accustomed to them. But it's a challenge filming your own hunt. My gosh, Larry's made a career out of it. Jeff, as
well, I've always had a cameraman. I'm learning like you now that I'm doing.
Well,
a lot
here's
of
the scenario: the big boar comes in. I could have shot him. He's 45 yards.
Right.
I'm using an Air Force Air Guns Texan. It's a big bore air rifle that pressures up to 3,600 feet per second. And I'm shooting a 240-grain bullet. And you hear, think about shooting a hog with an air gun. You know, it may be misleading, but trust me, I've killed a bunch of them, and deer too. Anyway, that's what I'm using. So I don't want to be shooting one 100 yards away. I want to know where I can hammer him.
Right.
Precise shot placement.
Exactly.
And that's what happened. So this little sow, I don't know, 60 pounds, 50 pounds, it's hard to judge, fat as a butterball. Okay, so I get the camera. You know, I've got the camera inside this little blind with me. I've got it zoomed out.
Right.
I've got all of them, I think, all of them in there. So then I forget all about the camera. I want to kill that sow to eat. I get the gun up, put those crosshairs right behind her ear, or jaw, if you will, in the middle of the neck. You know,
right.
It's not far from a hog's ear to his front shoulder.
No.
But in that area, and it will hammer a hog. People ask me where I shoot hogs. That's where I shoot them, and they don't run. So it's no marksmanship really involved.
Well, there is.
I'm 45 yards, and the hog is. But the hog. So I've got the viewfinder where I thought where the hogs were. You know?
Right.
So when I get the gun up and the camera's over here. I'm right here. The hog had stepped up about 10 feet, both of them, her and a black one. And they wouldn't have stuck around a long time because the corn had not, the feeder hadn't gone off yet. They were just scouting. Bams. And I looked, oh, wow, I've actually got a kill shot on this camera. Well, I look over there, and it's the camera's filming the spot over where they were.
Where they had been.
So I took it and turned it around. You've seen it.
Yeah.
And then there's the hog expiring on the deal. We got the pork, and so I thought, Larry, you know, if they were going to come in at your place, maybe another hour or two later, which you stayed, they didn't show, which that's the way hogs are. But I had plenty of time, Larry, to get back and remove the quarters and the back straps. And here's the rest of the story. Coming down, I stopped by Bucky's. I always stop by and get some.
Now, let me tell you all about Bucky's. You may have heard about Bucky's. I know there are folks who are not from Texas, have not seen a Bucky's store. But a Bucky's is kind of like a general store with everything that you can imagine. Maybe 200 gas and diesel pumps out front, and it's almost like a destination kind of thing. There's so many things available, and they're pretty much along the interstates here in Texas, about to expand as well too. Outdoor things,
yes,
food, you know, drinks,
hunting supplies,
almost anything you could want. But now, if you, it is
B-U-C-K-E-E.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. B-U-C-K-E-E-S.
It's like Boosie's.
B-U-C-C-E-S, I think is what it is.
Yeah.
But if you look it up on the website, or look up a website, just Google Bucky's, and they'll show you something about what these stores look like. But now, go ahead, because I drive by them all the time, and I stop by them all the time. So, but now, tell me your story about what you've been saying there.
A hunting trip coming down to Jeff's. It's about an hour and a half from my house, where we're at right now. We're kind of a home away from home for
right.
me. Well, I go by there and Bucky's and fill up with gas and 20 pounds of ice for 99 cents. You know, that's what I do. I buy ice in case I kill a hog. Actually, I'll buy a couple of dollars worth of ice. That's 40 pounds in my big cooler.
It's a great place to buy ice.
So get your ice up. For years, I've been going in there and looking at these little, they're $60 little smokers.
Yes.
They're how long? 24 inches long?
Yeah, probably about 18 to 24 inches.
20 somewhere. Inches, let's say.
Yeah.
And diameter?
Probably 10, 12 inches.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Well, I've been looking at these, and a rack, that a grill that pulls out, a smokestack on one side, and I thought, you know, I'm going to get one. I think I can use this. So I pick one up, $60. Now, this was yesterday. And then I pick up some B&B charcoal, which I affirm, not a commercial, but I'm a firm believer.
That
stuff burns
stuff.
Forever.
Best charcoal there is.
It's good charcoal. So I pick up a bag of B&B charcoal. I had no intentions of cooking anything until I saw that, and then the wheels started turning. I even thought about a head to the hog if I was lucky. So I was lucky. Got down here and got the hog shot, and then got him all cleaned up, filleted those back straps out. And then I'm sitting there, you know, kind of thinking, well, damn, we got 2 hours here before, you know, what am I going to do? I fired that thing up and burned it out, you know.
Right, exactly.
Let it burn, whatever.
Yep.
And then after it burnt for about 30 minutes, I put some olive oil and some garlic powder, salt, pepper, and a little Worcestershire sauce in a bag with all the, with both of those loins cut into little fillets, little pieces.
Right.
And put them on the grill. And I found a chunk of hickory wood, and I stuck it. It's like a mini smoker, Larry, is what this thing is.
Yes, sir.
And I put that in, and that thing started smoking, and I hadn't even noticed, but it has a built-in smokestack
right.
on one.
Oh, yeah, it does.
And let that go. So Larry's still in the woods, and I'm up there at the camp cooking very fresh pork. So bottom line is, about dark, you came up, and by then I'd had it wrapped, had that meat wrapped in foil, and it made, what would we call that, some little hors d'oeuvres for us?
Yeah, those were kind of appetizer, hors d'oeuvre kind of thing, and they were out of this world good. I'm leaving here to go do a marketing meeting with the Texas Raised Hunting Products, TRHP Outdoors is the new name for them.
Yep.
When I drive back by Bucky's, which I got to do going to the direction there, I'm going to pick up one of those. Those are easy enough. We easily throw them in, keep them at the house, but if we're coming out somewhere, you talk about, you know, like both cooking on Dutch oven or cast iron stuff, you can take one cast iron pot and one of those and put them in the back of the truck, and you talk
you're
about
ready.
A cooking kit, you know.
You're ready.
Golly.
And if we had one, we've got our trot line about 45 yards from where we're sitting. We're on the bank of the creek, folks, and I'm watching that limb that it's tied to.
Uh-oh.
I think I might have seen a little twig. You can, 10 feet of the line out of the water. You can see, I don't know, I saw a little bit of a sag a while ago.
Yeah, it looked like it might be going up and down. We'll give it some
chance. We don't want to rush it because we want a bunch of catfish on there when we... But if we had our grill, here I go again. If we had our grill with coal, we're talking about some grilled catfish. Have you ever had grilled catfish?
You know what? I have.
They're good.
It is good. I like grilled fish. I like it fried.
Yep.
I like it. You know, thinking about some of that cured, some of that cornmeal, because I grew up eating fish fried, you know, not battered in cornmeal. You just kind of dried them a little bit, dredged them kind of a little bit in some cornmeal, and oh, my God, that was good.
Probably lard.
It was always lard. I grew up on that to where we butchered all our own hogs, and, I mean, we'd get them up until my granddad used to buy old boars. And would castrate them, and he would feed them for another 6, 7, 8 years. And he always kept, you know, a rotation kind of thing. And I've got pictures at home somewhere of me standing beside a hog hung in a tree that we put on the scales that weighed 800 and almost 900 pounds.
Lard.
Intact. And I mean, and you talk about rendering lard off that thing. We did. And to me, lard just adds an extra flavor to it. But yeah, it was catfish cooked in lard or fried in lard, you know, with a little bit of cornmeal on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, lardy, was that good. And that's kind of the way that you do things.
Kind of. I was raised from here as the crow flies, northeast up in Red River County. You could be up where I was raised in, I don't know, 45 minutes,
yeah,
50
not very
minutes,
long from
maybe.
Where we are right here,
You've
yeah.
been up in Red River County a lot, but... Yeah, I was raised up there, and I was raised doing just what we're doing right now. My dad was he had a country store up there for a number of years, and then he sold it and went into poultry business. And it had two chicken houses with 14,000 chickens total. And that's a lot of chickens now. And every 8 or 9 weeks, he'd sell them. We'd go up in southeast Oklahoma and set up a little camp, very Spartan camp looking back on it, you know. But tarps and stretched out over a old 50 model international pickup. And, you know, he was a pretty handy guy. He had these fold out deals with the Coleman stoves.
Oh, yeah.
Cook racks that he'd mount in the sideboards where they used to go in an old pickup. Well, he'd set this up. And when he got through, it looked like a chef's headquarters, you know. But we would get down there and set our trot lines out. The goal, usually on a Friday night, the goal was to get enough catfish for that evening's meal. And, you know, that it was so easy to catch them down there. We never failed, but that's what the outdoors, you know, is all about. Just, you don't have to go out and kill a great big deer or shoot a monster boar. It's just, if there's a lot of things that you can do if you just maybe have some instructions on, if you weren't, didn't grow up like we did, have somebody kind of point you in the right direction. But there's so many interesting things to do in the outdoors, Larry, you know?
You know, there really are. We're here, we're on private land, but be honest with you, we could do the same thing on public land surrounding the lake here as well.
Exactly.
And you really don't need a huge boat. No. The little flat bottom John type boat that you got here, it's basically a one person boat.
Yeah.
You can do everything that you need to in these little old creeks like this. You can maneuver up into the back side of them and set out a trot line, and no telling what you're going to catch. This lake right here, Lake Fork, used to be it was the premier black bass lake for a long
still
time.
Still a good one, you know.
And still a good
still
one.
Good.
And obviously, you've come up here with Jeff. Unfortunately, we had things where we had weather where I couldn't get it with you. But y'all come in here and you catch a tremendous amount of white and yellow bass.
White bass run right up out of the main lake up this creek, you know. And yeah, we discovered that, I guess, 2 years ago is when we first. I was telling Jeff, I said, well, it should be a bass. White bass run up in here, and then Jeff come out here and that built a nice dock and actually put that thing together, rebuilt a dock, if you will. That's what he did. But got a fish feeder set up, so yeah, it's just a nobody's going to bother you back in here. You'd have to want to get back in this area.
You really have to. I mean, I guess you could come in from the lakeside, but
debris up there, you know, it's really hard.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're true. That's exactly right. It is true. I mean, and this is almost like a little swamp area back in here where that creek runs into or out
it
of.
Is. Yeah.
And but there's black bass in here, white bass. You've caught a fair amount of crappie here in the past as well, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's a fish here that we have kind of in the south part of the world, in our part of the world, rather, called the bowfin.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever fish for those?
Caught them several right out here. I'll be honest with you, I've never eaten one, but I've done some research, YouTube, you know, and check them out, people that do fish for them. I hear they're pretty good good eating if you eat them fresh.
Yeah.
That's one of my goals. Is I've caught, and Jeff and I both have caught some pretty good, six to eight pounders.
Yeah,
right here.
I remember Jeff talking about the years ago, his daughter, when they first got this place, catch one, I think it weighed like almost 10 pounds or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen a picture or two, and I mean, here's this attractive young lady, you know, probably looks like she's maybe 8 or 10 years old, holding this fish up, 10-pound bowfin up, and it's unbelievable. They're an interesting fish to me. I've only caught one of them in all the years that I've been fishing, and it was up kind of in this part of the world. But they're kind of, in a way, prehistoric looking. I've looked at their skulls that were preserved, and there's a tremendous amount of bone structure in that skull. Yeah.
Yeah. They're an interesting, hard-pulling fish, I'll tell you that.
I would think so, because they're kind of like an eel, aren't they, that they have fins pretty much?
Those wide fins drag in the water.
Yeah.
They're a handful when you catch them.
Yeah,
I could imagine catching a six. It's hard not to keep an eye on that trout line over there, is it? I'm not seeing anything just yet, but we haven't had it baited that
way. No. I'm waiting for it. And with this little old cold spell coming in, it may have shut the fish down for a little bit.
It could have, because we'll give it a little try. Yeah.
We've got some time.
We'll go back, and if we don't eat fish, we'll eat some more wild pork and pea meal bacon.
Oh, my God. The next several days, I could eat it three meals a day. And I don't know if I'd want to continue eating it three meals a day from here on out. But I can tell you this much, as soon as I get back and I can get me some of that butcher supply.
Butcher packer.
Yep. Butcher packer.
Uh-huh.
And get online with them. I am going to be doing some of that because it's so easily done.
24 hours, just put it in the brine.
Really don't have to do anything.
Nothing.
Other than just mix it up, put the thing in there, and then roll it in cornmeal, cut it, and you can put it in the freezer or eat it right then, I guess.
Yeah, it's just as good. I mean, it tastes like what we had if you just ate it right. It tastes the same. It's cured. It's cured meat, you know.
Yeah, I keep coming back to that because I keep thinking about it. I mean, again, I've eaten bacon literally all over the world. I've eaten Canadian bacon in Canada and South Africa, all over Africa. A lot of times they'll serve it, you know, for breakfast in the restaurants. And in Europe, a bunch, and like I said, in Canada. But this was by far the best I've ever eaten.
Yeah, it'll, I believe it'll be a staple at the Wysoon house.
It's going to be very much a staple. I'm not too sure I'm going to share it with too many people, to be very frank. My wife may. I don't know about my grandkids and daughters. Well, they're going to get that. Well, probably I'll get some of it.
They can be trained.
Yeah, I'll get them to do their own. I'll show them how to do it, how easy it is.
You know, just thinking, Larry, down here, a person could poke salad. A lot of people may know what poke salad is. It comes with a poke berry is what happens when a poke plant is mature, you know, the little indigo colored little berries or whatever. But pokes, you could literally live down here indefinitely. Shoot, say every 3 days, shoot you some fresh pork. Pick you some poke salad. That's growing everywhere out here now. You're in the mood for a fish. Come and catch you two or three fish. A person could literally live off the land right here, couldn't you?
You really could. I mean, there are a lot of different wild berries, such as the blueberry or dewberries that we have here.
They're coming on.
We're not that far away. And, you know, you got the fishing here as well, too. And then there's a tremendous amount of oak trees in this area and a few pecans and a few hickories. And so, you know, they're during the right time frame, you've got a lot of fat and carbohydrates there in those that you could preserve and use as a meal too, or even make little cake. You can understand how the Indians that lived in this area for eons, you know, survived in this country very, very nicely. They may not have the lake, but there were all these little streams that had fish in it and had probably freshwater mussels there are deer in this area, and probably at one time there were a fair number of turkeys that scattered through all this part of the world as well, too. And then, too, at one time, there were a lot of black bears scattered all over this part of the world as well, too. So, you know, you kick all those into the mix, and you didn't have to worry about a whole lot of things. You could get back in here as long as you had a bow and arrow or something to catch a fish with, or, you know, you could do it.
You could make it there, buddy. I guarantee you. And even if muscadine grapes, there's a lot of muscadines down here. If you wanted maybe a little beverage for fall, you could pick a bunch of those muscadines, put them in a crock, and make your own wine. Larry, maybe we've been down here too long already. We're thinking about survival here, buddy.
there's no doubt. Yeah, I think anybody that wanted to survive and had a little knowledge about the outdoors could probably survive down here. There are probably some people that, you know, oh, my God, no. Take me now. I'm out of here. I don't want anything to do with this. But yeah, there is. There's in so many different places, but particularly here in this part of the country. The winters can be cold, but they're not, you know, they're not killing winters kind of thing in a normal situation. And with all the things that are here available to you, you can survive very, very easily without, and really have an enjoyable life while you're doing it as well, too.
Yeah, you're right. You know, Larry, the folks can, the sportsman's life. Folks could watch that. Watch what Larry and I have been up to. Jeff will put a little show together. It's called A Sportsman's Life. It's on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and search A Sportsman's Life and pull it up. Or it's on the Roku, you know, on you know, Pride Outdoor Network things, but you can actually see us down here having fun.
I just recently opened a YouTube channel.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't really started publicizing yet, but it's Larry Wysoon Outdoors, and we've got several episodes there, and I have a lady named Stephanie Murphy who does a lot of the work for me, and as Stephanie gets time, she'll start putting more and more episodes there, and you can really kind of keep up to see what Luke and I are actually doing, not only just from the, you know, hearing about it on the podcast, because Luke's kind of become a regular there, and Luke and I have been doing kind of regular things together now for about 13 years with your radio show.
Yeah, well, that's kind of our deal, the Catfish Radio Campfire Talk.
Yep.
And you can listen to Larry and I every week, catfishradio.org, O-R-G. It's on 18 stations around Texas mostly, and now the internet is so many people listen podcasts, but they also listen to radio stations online.
Absolutely. They're, a lot of times they're streaming those live. Uh-huh. And, I mean, you've called me a time or two. There are a few really big stations up here.
Yeah.
That you'll call me and say, hey, just remember we're on this morning at such and such a time. And I'll punch that computer
there
button. And, you know, guess what? There we are.
We're talking about the outdoors, our adventures. Exactly right. But I did. Shooting that hog and cooking it and all right there, to me, that's just the ultimate. I mean, there's something about that, man. I don't know how to describe it.
Well, to me, that's part of being the total outdoors person is that you have the knowledge to go out to take an animal. You know how to prepare that animal to prepare it for a meal, and then you eat it. And I think as we're heading into this new world situation kind of thing, where, you know, the one thing that COVID did is made people realize that food does not necessarily come from the grocery store. There has to be a source. It's got to be produced, then it's got to be shipped to the grocery store. And with some of there being interruptions in that, a lot of people have gone back now to hunting and fishing. And more people are becoming interested in doing so, in procuring their own food. And with that being the case, you know, I think as we head into the future, yeah, we're going to see some restrictions maybe in the future on different guns that we can use and those kind of things. But there's a lot of folks out there these days that have realized that, hey, it's one of these days my family and I may have to survive on my wits and what I know about the outdoors. And that being the case, we're seeing a tremendous influx of people into the outdoors. And you can see that reflected in hunting and fishing license sales going way up in a lot of these states as well, too.
They've gone up nationwide, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's even a huge increase in California. Of course, here in Texas, a lot of those that Californians that kind of think like some of the Texans do, hopefully. Those are the ones that are moving here because our state of Texas is growing at an unbelievable rate in terms of humans. But, you know, they're welcome as long as they kind of believe like true Texans do, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. And it's the times are a changing. They have changed a great deal. It's hard not to look at that trot line.
I'm seeing one of a twitch over. I think we're going to shut this thing down right here until next time.
I've got the line going into the top of the boat. And I'm seeing
a little moving there. So tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, join us right here next week on DSC's Campfires. I'll get old Luke back on here. We need to tell some of the stories that we told around the campfire when the recording hadn't been on. So y'all join us right here. Don't forget to go to catfishradio.org and you can listen to some of the things there. Luke and I also do the Hunting Wire Radio that's on the Hunting Wire twice a month. And then our radio show that I do with Luke every Saturday morning and throughout the week available, as I said, is available there on Catfish Radio. And then
Sporting Classics.
You can go to the Sporting Classics Daily and listen to a weekly podcast that Luke and I do there. And let's see, what else?
Now, I think that's it.
Of course, this podcast and then, too, a Sportsman's Life is a weekly show, if you will, too, on Pride Outdoor Network. And as we go forward, you'll be able to see a little bit more on the on the YouTube channel that I've got and the YouTube channel that we have for that particular TV show as well, too. So join us right here next week, giving you a lot of things to do in between now and the time we get together again right here at the DSC Campfire.
DSC's Campfires with Larry Wysoon has also been brought to you by Texas Wildlife Association, working for tomorrow's wildlife today. Texas-raised hunting products, the Scent Gods. Kittatrek boots for the trails less traveled. Boyt, the finest in hunting gear. Pyramid Air for all things air gun. And Ripcord Rescue Travel Protection.